If you have your Bibles, let's turn for a few moments to Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the faith father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Everything Jesus did, he did it for us. He did it for us. How to chart the course of your new beginnings. When it's all said and done, it's going to be the strength of one or more promises of God that will help us to face the impossible, the unusual, where we've never been before, going through uncharted waters. How to chart the course of your new beginnings. We mentioned previously that the great hearts of Hebrews 11, all of them faced times of new beginnings. Noah faced a time of new beginning. Abraham faced more than one time of new beginnings. Aren't you glad God gave new beginnings? Today's the first day of the rest of your life. King David, after being anointed even, faced many beginnings. Joseph, in and out of difficulty time and time again, faced several new beginnings before he was placed in the place of honor and importance that we see him in, and what a blessing he was in time of famine to everyone in the land. Paul faced a number of times of new beginnings. And John the Revelator faced new beginnings. I believe even his experience on the Isle of Patmos was a new beginning for him when he chose to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And of course, Job. A businessman told me this last week, he said the message we brought on Job's revival helped bring him through one of the most difficult business times of his life. That there were instructions in that message. And I went back and reviewed it in a different way after the comments that he made. He said, I just thank you for the word that has made such a difference in my life. But in the midst of severe pressure, he said there were truths that were ministered in Job's revival that helped me and helped see me through. So what I'm saying, you know, when things aren't going real well or you're having a challenge, the devil will come. First thing he'll say was, you missed it, you blew it. You know, that if something's not going right, it's bound to be something you're paying for years ago. He's the author of push and shove, and then he comes around the next corner with condemnation. He just doesn't play fair. We found out that the greatest hearts that ever lived in the Bible had opportunities for new beginnings. So let's go to the heart of the matter here in Romans chapter 4. And I believe here is how Abraham charted his course of new beginnings. We can learn and we can start today. This is not a preaching message. This is a message from the Word of God. This is a message that has life-changing power and potential because it's all about God's Word. As we study the life of Abraham here in chapter 4, how to chart the course of your new beginnings. We all need them. We all desire them. But how do you get from point A to point B? Especially when things have been a mess or when you don't know what tomorrow and next week is going to bring. All right, first of all, please write this down. Remember to chart your course of new beginnings, that this is a 100% faith deal that's based on the Word of God. This is a 100% faith deal that is based on the Word of God. This is not hype. This is not positive thinking. This is not mind over matter. It's simply getting a promise of God and remembering that the Bible said, therefore, it is a faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is a faith. Concerning your life and your new beginnings and charting your course of new beginnings, therefore, it is a faith. You know, you'd think that you'd experience it all over a few years of pastoring, and we've had many years of pastoring. But this week, again, I've been in the trenches with some folks that were hurting. I've been at the graveside. I've been at intensive care. I've been with precious people that feel that their world is being challenged. And, you know, people face a lot of challenges. But I believe with every fiber of my being that even if it was with Paul, if your ship went down, you're going over. And you've got to lock into that faith, and you've got to lock into that mentality. All ships don't make it. I wished I could tell you that everybody's ship makes it. But I'll tell you another thing. After the ship went down, Paul was safely able to go to the shore. And Acts 28 is just as powerful to me as Acts 27, because he had an island-wide salvation, healing, Holy Ghost revival. And he didn't have to have the ship to do it. Because you see, as you said, the storm did not take Paul's faith. He refused to let the storm steal his faith. He refused to let shipwreck ruin the rest of his life. And when he arrived on that island, he won the chief of the island. Cancer was healed. Poisonous viper, you know the story how that Paul shook the snake off. You know, folks, I hate to tell you, but no matter how greatly you've been blessed, it's going to be challenged. No matter how greatly blessed we are, it will be challenged. But the bottom line is, if I could go to the last point that I'll get to sooner or later, is that if we don't quit, we win. But remember, this is a 100% faith deal. I don't have the answer. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't understand her, or I don't understand him, or my job situation, you know, just, or our health, or we've lost a loved one, and we prayed, we still lost a loved one. And that happens. That happens. But remember, it's a 100% faith deal. Therefore, it is of faith. Oral Roberts said many years ago that a man that throws down his shield in the midst of the battle is like a man that throws away his faith in the midst of the storm. Hold on to your faith. Therefore, it is of faith. Remember that this test of charting a course of new beginnings is a 100% faith deal. Therefore, it is a faith. Can't see, can't hear, don't understand, don't know which way to go? Well, stand and withstand. You don't have to do anything until you know what to do. Sometimes we make a bad move because we think we have to do something. But when you don't know what to do, Ephesians said, stand and withstand. You'll not find any stronger faith teaching than that. I don't care where you go. Stand and withstand. Everything we've ever accomplished in this ministry was by learning to stand and then keep on standing. You don't stand on Sunday and throw it away on Monday. You stand and you withstand because it's a 100% faith deal. You're saved by faith. You're kept by faith. You're filled by faith. You're healed by faith. You're delivered by faith. Everything positive that happens in our life that's lastingly positive comes through faith in God. It's a 100% faith deal. The just shall live by faith. Very plainly stated four times. In fact, Habakkuk said the just shall live by his faith. I thank God for your faith, but I thank God for my faith. Because it's your faith your individual faith is going to see you through. We're talking about how to chart the course of your new beginnings. Remember that it's a 100% faith deal, and that's good because that makes it hard on God and easy on us. I know some people think that when you say faith, boy, they just get all in the midst of a mental struggle, you know. You know, they get all tensed up. Well, I guess it's going to be a fight. I know it's a fight, but it's a good fight. And it's no comparison to the other side. The toughest day you'll ever have standing on the Word and believing God, standing in faith, is nothing to be compared with throwing down your shield and throwing down your sword and running off and getting an arrow in your back. Because that's what happens when you run. You always get an arrow in your backside. And it hurts. And it can take you out. Secondly, refuse to chop the rope of hope. You've heard me say that before, but it's become a life principle with me. I was preaching in Vancouver, B.C. in a conference, minister's conference there. A man picked me up at the airport. And I'm always interested in finding out what people do and what's going on in their life. And I said, "What do you do for a living?" as we were driving to the hotel. And he said something I'd never heard before. He said, "I'm a tree feller." Well, you know, my first thought, this guy may live in a tree. I don't know. What kind of a strange person did they send to pick me up at the airport? I'm a tree feller. And I had kind of a blank look on my face. He said, "Well," he said, "you'd probably understand it better. I'm a lumberjack." Oh, I understand. This guy doesn't live in a tree. Praise God. Then I asked him a question. I said, "Tell me something about being a lumberjack." I found out you can learn from everybody. Everywhere you go, you can learn from everyone. We were in a minister's conference over in Dallas, in a hotel, and the bellman there, Joey, used to be in your dad's church. But he gave us all the information about this property, and his mother or grandmother sold this property, as I understand it, yeah, years ago. I mean, everywhere you go, it's amazing the things you learn. Just listening a little bit. And so he said, "Well," he said, "the first thing I would tell you if you were going to be a lumberjack," he said, "don't chop your rope." I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Now, since then, they put steel in rope. And that rope holds them to those giant trees that those lumberjacks, they go up high on that tree and, you know, they take that tree apart at different times and places and so on. But he said, "I've lost 3 friends over a several year period of time." He said, "It's a very dangerous work." And he said, "Some lumberjacks get so busy cutting down the tree or chopping a limb that they get overzealous and chop their rope and fall to their death." And he said something we have to remind ourselves of all the time. Don't get so busy. Don't be in such haste that you chop the very thing that's holding you in place. I learned something from that conversation. I learned something. Don't get too busy for the Word. Don't get too busy to pray, to spend time in the Word of God. Don't get so busy that the main thing ceases to be the main thing. And he said, "We've learned by hard experience, don't chop your rope of hope." Well, you know, actually that hope is that, according to Dr. W. Vine, is confident expectation, happy anticipation of a better day. You know, a believer can be sitting here with absolutely nothing. And you say, "Well, you've lost it all." "Oh no, the best is yet to come." What's with you? He hasn't chopped his rope of hope. You'd say someone else, "Well, you've had great loss or you've had disappointments." You know, they say, "Well, I tell you, it's just bad. I'm telling you, I thought this serving God was going to work out, but I just don't know what's going to happen." See, they don't have hope. You can inspire them a little bit, but that balloon will go down just as soon as you're gone. It will deflate. Folks, remember, refuse to chop your rope of hope. Abraham, against hope, against hope, believed God. Against hope, I've seen people come out of a bad neighborhood. Against hope, I've seen young people get an education that was impossible otherwise. Against hope, I've seen God heal marriages. And sometimes that doesn't happen. But against hope, I've seen God give people another life and a better life. I'm going to tell you, don't chop your rope of hope. It's not all over. It's not about to be all over. And that's the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul in Acts 27, when all hope was taken away, but they took my hope. Well, who are they? But when all human hope was taken away, Paul still did not lose his hope in God. I know in faith circles, hope was kind of a dirty word a few years ago, you know, and I heard some very tacky things said about hope. Well, I was one of the early preachers that God gave a revelation to. Hey, hope is good. Hope is the happy rope holder that holds things together while faith is busy on the job and while love keeps us mellowed out on the way. So remember, it's a 100% faith deal, and refuse to chop your rope of hope. We all have hope because we have God's Word. There's another truth in the 16th verse of that fourth chapter of Romans. Do not consider, meditate, or dwell on negative circumstances. I know that is a lot of words, but do not consider, don't meditate, don't dwell on negative circumstances. Abraham considered not his own body. And Abraham and Sarah were long past the time of life. In fact, they could say life begins at 90. How would you like to start parenting at 100? How would you like a baby or a household of teenagers at 100 years of age? Mama, what are we going to do? Well, there would be grace if you were in that position, but don't dwell on negative circumstances. Don't dwell on negative circumstances. Abraham considered not his own body, now dead. I'm telling you, everything I'm talking about is what we've had to do since the storm, before the storm, and after the storm. And we're not completely through it yet. We're still going through some challenging waters. But the big word is, we just keep coming through. You know, and every through gives you strength and faith for the next through. The big word is through. Isaiah 43, we come through the waters, we come through the fires. It is so comforting to know that by God's help, we come through. And when the doctors say that part of your body has to be amputated, you know that you've come through that. And it's hard to handle a man that has proven the grace and the mercy and the faithfulness of Almighty God. You didn't read it in a book. Well, you did read it in a book, the Holy Bible. And you see God's faithfulness and God's mercy. You know, the battle is in your mind, folks. I'm not talking about mind over matter and all that, but I'm telling you, I'd rather have coffee with a positive thinker any day than a negative thinker. You know? The battle is in the mind. And as a man thinketh, as we think, as a woman thinketh, so are we. What we dwell upon, what we think about. Some people, you do everything in the world, get them on the positive, and their trail always goes back negative. You can pull them over positive for a while. You can get them into the Word of God. Before long, they're back on. And I'm not talking about discussing things that need to be discussed. I'm just talking about basic life. The only way you're going to accomplish what God called you to accomplish is refuse to dwell on the negative. And know that if God be for us, who can be against us? Refuse to dwell on the negative. Negative thoughts of you're not worthy and, you know, God's trying to beat you or judge you or whatever. I was asked those very questions by the news media. Don't you think this is a dark omen? Don't you think that this is bad luck? I said, what are you talking about? I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing, we're coming out twice as much. And you wait and see. We're in the process of doing it. There'll be a day I can stand before this pulpit and I can tell you and prove to you by facts and figures we're coming out with twice as much any way you look at it. And that's not bad coming through a storm. And I give God the glory. I give God all the glory. And I thank you for believing in us and holding steady with us. We've had some unusual shots fired at us during this time, but thank God for the shield of faith. I hear the ping. I don't know what the magnitude of it could have been, but I just thank God that shield was in place. Don't consider, don't meditate on negative circumstances. Abraham considered not his own body now dead. Think about that. Considered not his own body now dead. I'm telling you, folks, that's strong. And then there's another insight here of how to chart the course of your new beginnings. And that is to stagger not at God's promise through unbelief. God's word is not a cute little something that God gave you. I mean, God's word is not a take it or leave it book. You take it to your own blessing and you leave it and pass it by to your own detriment. Stagger not at God's promise through unbelief. What does that word stagger mean? Well, let me give you some insights and meanings. That word stagger means to think contrary to. I know God said that, but. I know the Bible says this, but. It's scary to me when people say, well, the word says this, but. So it means to think contrary to. Another insight that comes from that, the meaning of that word stagger, it means to argue with. Any parents with teenagers understand that one. I mean, you've got the wisdom of the ancients, but they don't see it yet. My father became the most brilliant man on the face of the earth after I got married. I'm telling you, his wisdom was astonishing to me. I thought, where has this wisdom been all my life? As I walked through the house turning off lights. I mean, all we had was, I think, four light bulbs in the entire apartment, Joy. But I found out what the electric bill was, you know. And if it's not much, but you don't have it, that's still. Mom and Dad had a big old two-story brick house. And boy, when I was home, man, we just light up, you know, light the fire, man, turn on the lights, you know. I came home and I started turning off lights. I never will forget, Dad says, son, you figured out what the light bill's all about, didn't you? To argue with. The word stagger or stagger not means to think contrary to. Don't think contrary to the Word of God. Don't argue with the Word of God. Don't question, negatively question the Word of God. You know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's the way it really should be. Stagger not at God's promise. God gave us Isaiah 41:10 in the beginning of this ministry. I kept that little verse out of a promise box in my wallet until it literally disintegrated. It fell apart. I had to blow sheetrock dust off of it, concrete dust off of it. I had to had a fall from several feet up in the air, and one of those big space heaters almost landed on top of me. I'd have been history if that had happened. Doing things I'd never done before. Doing things I was not trained to do. Remodeling a building. But God gave me Isaiah 41:10. That verse walked into the bank with me many times. That verse saw me through impossible situations. That verse helped me when I didn't know what to do with me. That verse helped me see I'd never started a church before, so there's a lot I didn't know. That's the first thing you need to know if you're starting, that you don't know a lot of things. I remember one minister, he said, there's a sign that you need to put on your desk now that you've started your church. The buck stops here. There's no one else to blame. There's no one else to go. The buck stops here. But you know, God gave me Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. That's the first step right there. For I am with thee. Don't be dismayed, discouraged, disheartened. I am thy God. Folks, something's up here today. I will help you. I've heard that some people say, but I don't have anybody to help me. You have God's help. What's wrong with that? I mean, I've been promised help from every source imaginable. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But when man's help doesn't work out, God's help works out every time. He said, I will help you. But I feel so weak. I just feel so weak. I understand. But he said, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. What kind of strength do you want? Well, Lord, what if I go under? Well, he said, I've already thought about that. Underneath is my right hand of righteousness. How can you go under for going over? Are you getting the word of God today? I'm not trying to preach it. I'm just trying to let it soak in. This thing is in my spirit today. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to know. I don't need to understand. All I need to do is hold his hand. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Then when we came to the downtown properties, and that's also still a basic foundational truth of this ministry, Isaiah 41:10, God gave me Isaiah chapter 43. And he said, when you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, he didn't explain that to me. He's kind of like that. He just said when. He didn't say if. He said when. I thought that was wonderful until it started happening. But he said, the waters will not overflow you, and the fire is not going to burn you. Child of God, listen to me. We're indestructible if our faith is in God. Well, what if they kill me? You get promoted. On a plane, someone's knuckles were white, and he was a big basketball player with a certain team, and he finally looked over. He wouldn't eat his food. He held on. His knuckles were white. I mean, boy, he was holding on to that seat. And finally looked over. He said, doesn't flying scare you? I said, oh no. He said, why? I said, because I have good insurance. He said, what insurance do you have? I said, well, I believe God keeps me, but if the plane goes down, I go up. That's the best insurance in the world. And he said, well, I fly all the time between basketball games, but I never get used to this. Never get used to it. But God said, when you go through the waters. And then I didn't understand later on into that chapter, what I preached last Sunday, he talked about new beginnings. I mean, I thought we were home where we'd be for the rest of the duration. But he said, I'm going to give you some new beginnings, and don't even worry. Don't even think about the former things. I'm going to do a new thing. I'd have never thought in a million years that God would have done what God's done. The storm took some things away, but you wait and see. God is blessing. And then we were flying back from Africa, and I was reading the Word. And I'm going to tell you, Isaiah is an interesting book to me. I call it my Old Testament pastor. Look what it said in Isaiah 54. It said, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For you're going to break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities. That's what God, I've seen God do that through part of the ministry of this church. He's made desolate city to become inhabited. And that's front page. Now, they don't understand it that way, but that's the way it is. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Thou shalt forget the shame of... See, what God's saying is, the past really doesn't matter at all. I know it was real, and maybe it was great, and maybe it was not so great. But the past really doesn't matter at all. It's where you're going today. It's where we're going now. It's not what someone said or what someone did or, you know, things. But where are we going now? Your faith is your future. And it starts today. Your faith is your future. And it starts today. And then he said in verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Let me just kind of bring a little conclusion here by reading verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my shalom peace be removed, saith the Lord. And then going down in verse 13, you know, God's word is a family word. And all thy children, and let me paraphrase, all my grandchildren, shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of our children, your children, our children. Household blessings. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. That's God talking. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. And then in verse 17 he said, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. If you know you're right and you know your faith is right, just keep that big smile on your face and say the best is yet to come. Oh, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. You know, you don't preach very long without somebody saying something tack. And when you pastor, they either love you or hate you. I mean, you can find a lot of people in this city that just love us, and you can find, I was in a cafeteria just a few hours ago, and a man said, I wrote you a very harsh letter. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I was just riding out of a lot of frustration, and he was very kind and very gracious. I appreciate that, but, you know, I used to keep those letters, but I've got a shredder for that now. How can you keep something when you hold on to it? So I just put it in the Holy Ghost shredder. Let God take care of the pieces. Pray for them, bless them, go on down the road. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Folks, get this in your spirit. We're not an accident looking for a place to happen. We're more than a conqueror. God never serves dessert first. There's some strange people that eat dessert first, but I mean, God never serves dessert first. The best is always yet to come. God is the originator of the carrot. Swing it out there is a carrot of God's mercy and God's grace. The best is yet to come. If I thought Calvary Cathedral was business as usual and this was just, had become a ho-hum ministry, I'd go do something else. But I'm here and I'm excited and my spirit is alive because I believe our greatest harvest is yet to come. The greatest harvest of souls is yet to come. Thank God for revival of the past, but the greatest moves of God are yet to come. God did not give us this piece of property to just sit here and occupy until Jesus comes. But God gave us this piece of property to glorify His name, to win souls, to see signs, wonders, and miracles. To see you come out of your situation, your mess, and see the blessing of God in your life. Oh, I remember I opened another little New Testament. It said, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I just put those Bibles, I just hardly got it under the bed. I mean, they were just stacked up one on another. And I said, devil, just have yourself a Bible study. I'm going to sleep. Just have yourself a Bible study. Just read the Word all you want to. This is what the Word says. We don't live by feelings. Feelings come, feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. I place my faith in the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. You can take one verse of God's Word and do anything that God's called you to do or make any day that is before you. Now, there's something else here. We remember that we win if we faint not. But this was not written for his sake alone. Now, come on. 100 years old, have a baby, 100 years old. You got a story better than that? Sarah, 90. I mean, anyone got have a stronger story than that this morning? God just took a real, real strong impossibility to show us that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Better than best. Quitters lose all. Winners take all. It's not where you've been, but it's where you're going. It's not what you've done that counts with God, but it's what you're doing now. I don't mean to sound unkind, but I really don't care about your past. I'm interested in you right now. I can't help what someone did to you before you got here. I can't help what happened to you as a child. I can't help the unkindness or the unpleasantness or the evil that someone may have inflicted upon you. But I'm here to tell you that if God be for you, who can be against you? When the floodwaters came, Noah and his family were safely inside the ark. God always has an ark of faith. I said God always has an ark of faith. Always, always, always. And as I looked at this verse, I could not help but think of a verse that has been another bedrock in my life. It said, be not weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9. Be not weary. Do you ever get weary, Pastor Nichols? Are you kidding? Sure. You ever get tired of what you're doing? For a moment. Ever feel like quitting? Temporarily. Preachers' lives aren't a bowl of cherries either. You know, it used to be tens, and then it was 20s, then it was 50s, then it was 100s, and then it was thousands. Now we're looking at millions. I mean, I shake my head when I think of our little 40,000 building that we started with over on Westbury Street. It's no longer thousands, it's millions. But I've had to expand my faith. I'll tell you one thing this storm did, it stretched my faith. And I'll tell you another thing. I've discovered that God's bigger than I realized He was. Not only for the church, but for you and for me. God's bigger than our little peanut brains can think. The world's thinking big. The world is thinking big. It's time the church started thinking big. For the glory of God. We're going to have to do things in a grander way, bigger way. And you know the beautiful thing about it is, Joy, we've seen so many people draw a line and say, just like Jacob said, I'm tired of being Jacob. I don't like my name. I don't like the game. I don't like the con. God, change me. Sometimes people tell me that people can't change. People can't change, but God can change people. And sometimes He does it real quickly, and usually it's over a period of time. It's not always usually overnight. You're saved immediately, but you're changed the rest of your life. But there was a night that Jacob was changed. And you know, I was reading. Done a lot of reading while we were out of the city. And you know, a lot of good things happened to Jacob after he changed. And probably some things changing in your life are waiting on you changing. You know, we want people to change, and we want circumstances. We want everything to change but me. Just leave me alone. Maybe God's waiting for some change in us to bring the exciting changes that He wants. So this message is very simple. I'm not trying to be profound. I'm just talking to you out of a pastor's heart here today, because I know this one thing. Your body's been racked with pain. I mean, everything in you just centers around that. It's survival. I know what it is every time we go into Harris Hospital. I remember, Joy, we spent 90 days there. You'd stay there one night, and I'd stay there the next. You'd go down to the family room where people are waiting. I felt like I was in grade school again. They'd clean it once a week, and everybody would take their stuff out and run back in and get their territory. I said, Lord, I feel like I'm back in grade school again. But it was real. People had relatives that were hurting and people that were in intensive care, and it was a very serious time in people's lives. You know, aren't we strange creatures? You know, we want church to be over in 30 minutes. This new breed wants it over sometimes in less than that. Yet we'll go to a doctor's office, and if you need that appointment, you'll stay there. I went, had a doctor's appointment the other day, and I said, are all these people? She said, it's not as bad as it looks. Just have patience. Well, I was having to catch a flight that afternoon. I mean, the office was filled with people. Well, fortunately, some people have their companions or children with them. But I mean, if you have an appointment and you need that appointment, you'll stay there until you get it. I mean, if they have your loved one in intensive care and they said, you know, they could go at any moment, you're not going to go off taking a vacation somewhere. You'll stay there. You'll sleep on the floor. You'll sleep in some kind of a chair that was not made to sleep in. What I'm trying to say, folks, we do what we have to do when we really want to do something. We do what we have to do when it's life and death. We do what... Desperation is the key to unlock your door of opportunity. We just not desperate enough sometimes. But I'm telling you, when we draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to have God's best. And if it starts a penny at a time, if it starts a nickel at a time, if it starts a dime at a time, if it starts a dollar at a time, if it's taking little baby steps, I'll take baby steps. I'm coming out of this mess. I'm coming out of this quicksand. I'm coming out of these lifelong habits. Yeah, I love miracles. I love miracles. But sometimes it's a step at a time. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Dip 7 times in the muddy river. It didn't happen on the 2nd time, the 3rd time, the 4th time, the 5th time, the 6th time. But it happened on the 7th time and his leprosy was cleansed. Whatever it takes, however long it takes. I'm after God's best. I'm after God's best. I'm after seeing this church being everything God raised us up to be. I am committed to see a harvest of souls. I'm committed to see revival. I'm committed to see a new you. I'm committed to see a new me. We're going to look at each other one of these days. We're saying we can't believe each other because God's changing us. Your greatest miracles are yet to come. I mean, we talk about the devil like he's got a franchise on this whole universe. No, 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 no. Greater, 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 greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Only power he has is the power we give him. It's time we shut the faucet off. It's time we shut that faucet off and say we're going to have God's best. It's time you set yourself in agreement. Say, there's no way you can hurt my feelings. You can step on my ingrowing toenail. And I'll just say, hallelujah. You can talk about me. I'm talking about things that just get people off track. I mean, just saying the name of Jesus. We used to sing that old song, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. You know, and all. We need to get that new commitment back in our spirit. Yes, I do care what you do, but what you do is not going to get me off track. What you do or what you don't do is not going to ruin the rest of my life. I've made my commitment. I've set my course. I'm like Abraham. Now, here's the revelation you need to get. I used to hear people preach and teach Abraham. I'd get so under condemnation, I didn't want to hear it. But one day, God said, son, carefully read my word. Abraham did not lock into this Romans 4 faith overnight. It took some time. Please learn what I'm telling you. You know, I'd hear faith teachers and preachers preach this, and I thought, dear God, what am I? Chopped liver? You know, I mean, have I even gotten started in life? And what's wrong with me? Everybody's got... See, preachers like to tell you their success stories. But we don't like to tell you when we fell flat on our face. And God still loved us. You know what happened? Abraham said some things he shouldn't have said, did some things he shouldn't have done. Put his wife in a position that, thank God, you don't have a husband like Abraham. You'd kill that husband and tell God he died if Abraham treated you like he treated Sarah. Then his son saw what was happening. He came along and did the same thing. Living epistles, aren't we? Born and read of all men. But one day, he said, how do you understand this? Because it happened in my life. I got tired of failing. I got tired of coming short. I got tired of not being able to get there from here. I got tired of getting all fired up and then everything just craters and falls. And I said, regardless of feeling, regardless of people, regardless of who understands me or doesn't understand me, regardless of the circumstances of life, whether I have money in my pocket or I have no money in my pocket, irregardless of any circumstance of life, I make my commitment, I drive my stake, and from this moment forward, I'm going forward to God's best. Stop letting people trip you up. Stop always falling over some offense or what someone did or didn't do. There came a time in Abraham's life, he said, I'm not going to do the things I've done, but by God's grace, you can't just do this in your own strength. And I believe, that's my own personal conviction, there came a day when something locked into his... Did he ever make a mistake again? Sure. Did he ever fall short? Sure. But not big time like he used to. Because he's made a commitment. You know, a lot of people never made a commitment. You know, they feel good and they get all fired up and they lose it before they get to the parking lot. Folks, it's time to drive a stake and say, I'm going to see God's best. I'm going to be God's best. I'm going to distribute God's best.